In the third chapter of the book of John, Nicodemus comes to Jesus to question him. And Jesus' first statement to him was very profound. Matter of fact, Nicodemus could not comprehend it. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus struggled with that. And we would struggle with it too, except the Apostle Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, explains exactly what he meant. And so I'd like to turn over to the book of 1 Peter this morning and talk a little bit about this idea of being born again. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So the first thing that Peter expresses, and the Holy Spirit, of course, revealing this through Peter, is that when we obeyed the gospel, our souls were purified. They were cleansed. Our sins were washed away. We were bought with the blood of Jesus. And now we stand before God as an entirely different person. And so verse 23, having been born again. So having been born again is an expression that describes you purified your souls in obeying the truth. And he solidifies that by going on to say that we were born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, what I want to do this morning in this lesson is I want to kind of continue on something that we talked about in our last lesson, which was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we saw the Garden of Eden. We saw Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we saw a single command, the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, that was directed toward them so that it would save them and they would be protected if they would see the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as God revealed it, as something that would bring death. Then they would live and abide forever. But unfortunately, Satan was allowed or was able to change their position, change their view, get them to see Scripture not as truth, but actually as a hindrance. Scripture is in the way. Eve wants that fruit. It's good for food. It's desirable to make one wise. It's a delight to the eyes. She wants it. But the Word of God is in the way. And the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, was set aside. And instead of living and abiding, she died. Now in verse 23, all of those people who have died because they too saw something in the Word of God as being in the way and leaping over that boundary, they brought the same death upon themselves. And we spent quite a bit of time on that, talking at the Apostle Paul's words in Romans chapter 7. I was alive, apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. And then he explains what happened. There was a command that said, you shall not covet. But that command created all kinds of coveting in me. And we want to develop two sides of this morning as we talk about this. So verse 23 says that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. So the very thing that initially caused us to die is the very thing that now can cause us to be made alive again. And so we go on to see in the next chapter, he says this, therefore what? Therefore, because we were born again, therefore, because we now have the incorruptible seed inside of us, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, verse 2 is really the theme of what we want to develop in our lesson this morning, and that is, when we were born again, we became like newborn children. And as newborn children, verse 2, we need to desire the pure milk of the Word. Now, what exactly is he wanting us to grow into, and what exactly is he wanting us to grow out of? We really won't understand that, or unless we do understand that, we're not going to see where we need to be going. We had parents who were telling us as we were children, don't eat sweets, don't eat junk food, eat good, wholesome food, because, quote, you are what you eat. So since we are eating healthy, we become healthy. If we are eating poorly, then our health will suffer. Now, that will have a bearing on what we're going to be talking about here in just a few moments. Because we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that when we come into Christ, and of course we're baptized into Christ, and we put on Christ, and we become, either depending on your translation, a new creation or a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, because that is going to be exactly how we grow. The old thing, which is the way we see things based on our own perception, versus the way we see things based on Scripture. And sometimes there's a chasm so deep that we can't even hardly bridge it. Because every time we see a specific thing, we see it the way the Satan wants us to see it, and we don't see it the way God wants us to see it. And so when Jesus says, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery, most men can't see that. That's a chasm they can't get past. They can't get past the idea that just a look would lead to that. And yet God says that's what it does. The same thing with anger. He says that if you show anger to your brother, you're guilty of murder. We don't see it that way. And until we see it that way, we need to grow. Once we grow to the point where we can see what Jesus said about anger, and when we can see what Jesus said about lust, it's very easy to close the chasm and to set it aside, which is what Jesus did every time he was tempted. He just quoted the scripture that put things back in the proper perspective, and he knew exactly which way to go. That's what we have to learn to do. So when he speaks of old things passing away and new things coming, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So brethren, let's be honest about this. If a scripture doesn't activate a lust, we see it clearly. We've talked about this I don't know how many times now. You read through the lust of the flesh, or the works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5. And I would guess that most of us would say at least 70% of them, we've never done. We have no interest in it. And we see exactly why God condemns it. But there's always a few things where lusts have activated, and now we don't see it the way God says that it is. We see it the way the old man. When the old man grows corrupt, because of these deceitful lusts, because these lusts are all lies. The lust says, just like Eve said, this is good for food. This is a delight to the eyes. This is to be desired to make one wise. No, it's not. It brings death. Now, I have to learn that. And part of the education is difficult because we're all learning on a different level, because we are all a combination of different lusts. Different doors that we've opened, different paths that we've walked down. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. This is why we have to long for the spiritual milk that we can grow thereby. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now that's what God's commands are designed to do. We remember back in the old law where it said that these laws are for our good always. These laws, if we could keep them, they would be righteousness. We would be fair and just and equitable. We would be holy. So to put on the new man requires that I start assessing those areas where there's a chasm between what God says and what I think about it. Because there is, and you'll find yourself in this situation, just watch the next time you're being tempted. Just try to be that bystander who's watching what's going on in your mind. Because until we start assessing what's going on in our mind, we can never really deal with and get rid of it. If it's just something we respond as we go along, we never really give any thought to what caused it. So what does happen? Well, the temptation comes. What did James say about that? A man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Well, there's no lust if there's no law to violate. Because all the lusts that don't violate a law are not sinful lusts. They're the desires and needs that God gave me. But when it activates the law in a negative way. So putting off the old man and putting on the new man is based on the assessments that we've made regarding those areas of our life where the old man is active and the new man is yet to be put on. Because the reality is very simple. We're changing fathers. We're changing conduct. We're changing language. We're changing a viewpoint. Jesus is having this debate with the Pharisees. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Now, this throws the Jews. They can't comprehend his wording here, but I think we can see it really clearly. There are those who want to follow God and use their soul, their spirit, their emotions, their abilities, their opportunities, their time to the honor and glory of God. And then there's those who, like the devil, want to selfishly squander everything on themselves. Verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Well, Abraham is our father too. Because in Galatians chapter 3, we are told, as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed. And like Isaac, we are children of promise. So we can say the same thing they did. And we will have the same answer. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now how many times in the New Testament does God use the example of Abraham? The example of him leaving his country and living as a foreigner in a strange land. The example of believing the promises and regulating his life based on those promises and the opportunity to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, which he did without question the next morning. If you are Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. All right, we're changing fathers. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Every word in the gospel, every command, every doctrine, every practice, every act of worship, everything in the scriptures came from God. And if we are growing to become the children of Abraham and the children of God, we're going to love everything Jesus said. Not going to have any questions about it, not going to have any doubts about it, not going to irritate us. But sadly, as we preach to people in the world, and sometimes as we talk to our brethren, we find that's not the case. They don't accept it gladly. And they begin to manifest that God is not their father and Abraham is not their father, because that's the whole point of this conversation. And, of course, these people, it's lies and deceit. But as I said, it really wouldn't matter. With Eve, it was eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was no... There was no moral component here. It was not as though they were going to harm someone else. They just didn't listen to God. Now, Cain and Abel says the same thing. Says, Cain was of the evil one. Hated his brother. Why did he hate him? Because his works were evil. His brothers were righteous. He envied him. He didn't like the law that God had given, that Abel had kept, and he had violated. And when God said to him, sin is crouching at the door, you need to rule over it, he didn't listen, and he became another Satan. Became another son of the devil. These people were sons of the devil. Sad to say, before we became a Christian, we all did the works of our father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So as he did to Eve, he's done to everyone. He's done exactly the same thing, only differently. Because with Adam and Eve, as I said, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was it with you? Can we even remember our first sin? We may not remember the sin, but we can certainly see the vestiges of it, unless we have, in fact, old things passed away, new things have come. Some people have so grown that those things that were troubling them from their youth, those sins of their youth, are gone. Now, that doesn't make them sinless, but it shows their growth. God's word. This is what Eve did. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that death passed to all men, for all men sinned. We all did what Eve did in the garden. We were all alive apart from the law, children of God, destined to spend eternity with God. And of course, if we died in that condition, that's what happened. But those of us who, and we call it the age of accountability, but Paul simply calls it, I was alive, but when the commandment came, I died. And the commandment that I found to be unto life brought death to me. Sit down and read Romans chapter 7 and 8 after this lesson this morning, and try to plug yourself in there and try to figure out where you are, because our spiritual growth can't happen until we see what we have to grow out of and what we are growing into and how we're doing with it. So God's word was set aside. Evidently for Judas it was a love of money. Evidently for the fornicator in Corinth it was a desire for sexual gratification, regardless of how many vile things had to be done and how many laws had to be set aside. And again, we can go through the scriptures. We can find different places. And growing from the old man to the new man is the setting aside of the old ways that we did, the way we saw things. You know, when we were kids, we saw things a certain way. Whether we were raised in the Lord's church or not, we saw things in a certain way. Sometimes it was the evil companionship we grew up with. Sometimes it was just some choice we made in our own mind, something it was that we read in a book, something that influenced us in some way or another, and suddenly we started down a path leading us right to the devil and leading us away from the will of God. That's why we have to be born again. We have the wrong father. And we have the wrong view of the things, and that's why the living and abiding Word of God has to be part of the process. And it not only is part of the process that brings about the new birth, because now we see God's Word differently. Before we become a Christian, God's Word is a hindrance. God's Word is something that is a problem. After we obey the gospel, God's Word is the solution. But that's why he says, as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Because that's the process. We have to learn how to set aside the ways that we looked at things before we became a Christian, and often up to this very present moment, we still look at it like that. Now, that's why we fall. And then as soon as we fall, we remember the Word of God. And we tell ourselves, how in the world did that happen? How in the world? I know this. I've known it for 20 years now. But here it is again. Why can't I see it when the lust is there? Why can't I see it and stop it? Well, look at the process in Corinth. I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. The word carnal is really unfortunate because it's the same word for fleshly that he uses throughout the New Testament scriptures. And it would be nice if the translators would just leave it alone and give it the same translation and let us try to figure out, how does this fit here? I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to fleshly, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. In other words, I can't show you a scripture because as soon as I show you the scripture, your fleshly mind rebels and rejects it and says, that can't be true. Like James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. People get mad when you show them that the way they see it is not the way it is in the scriptures and that it needs to be set aside. They don't want to hear that. That's why the Jews wanted to kill him. That's why a lot of times when we preach the gospel, people respond in a way we never would have anticipated. Because we touch something in their heart that brought the truth to them in a way that they couldn't handle and they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. These people are still of their father, the devil. The old things are still there. The old man is still alive and well. I couldn't speak to you as the spiritual people. But as to carnal, fleshly, babes, milk, where there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal? Are you not fleshly? Behaving like mere men who don't even have a soul, don't even have a spirit? That's how you act. You act like an animal. That's why Jesus gave the apostles and prophets. He gave the apostles and prophets, which are the permanent gifts, the New Testament scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, all the way through, 27 books, written by four apostles and four prophets. We have them. We'll have them until the end. If I need an answer, I go to Paul, or I go to Matthew, or I go to Peter, or I go to James or Jude. We still have them. He gave the apostles and prophets. They wrote the scriptures for us. We also have the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints. We need to be equipped. Big holes, spiritual holes within us where we have violated the scriptures and ripped ourselves. Matter of fact, this is the same word that is used when James and John are mending their nets, because there's a big hole. If they go try to fish with them, the fish are just going to swim through the hole. Well, we all have holes like that, or sins just going to come right through. We need to be equipped for the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, the Son of God knows the truth on every subject. That's why he's sinless. We need to come to that knowledge. When we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, we will be the children of God, just like he was the Son of God. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, some of these doctrines are doctrines that we think about, of false teachings in churches, but some of them are false teachings regarding lusts. There's false doctrines out there to activate any lust. by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, Satan was the initial cunning, crafty, deceitful plotter. But there's many, he's got many sons now who are out there working, seducing and causing people to give in to things, coming up with commercials that portray alcohol and drunkenness as something that's fun when the scriptures reveal it to be something very different from fun, showing or coming up with television programs and movies to try and influence people into ways of life, lifestyles. We see it in the schools today even, where Satan's deceitful plotters are trying to get children to move in a direction directly contrary. God made them male, or he made them female, and now we've got deceitful plotters who want to tell them you're not. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Jesus sees things clearly. He reveals things clearly. Everything in his word is purified seven times. It is an absolute truth. But every one of us, as we go through our Bible reading every year, we find a few passages in there that still we're blind. We just can't see it. We know it's true, but we can't respond to it properly because our lusts, our old man, who's waxing corrupt with deceitful lust, he's still trying to be in control. That's why Paul told the Corinthians, I can't talk to you like spiritual people, because you're still fleshly. This requires our active participation, brethren. If we're not growing, it's not because of the evangelists, it's not because of the apostles and prophets, it's not because of the shepherds or the teachers, it's because we don't long for the spiritual milk of the word that we may grow thereby. It's because we are of our father the devil. Because we like to see things the way he portrays it. So the more involved we are, the faster we grow to become the children of God in attitude and demeanor, not just in grace. When I come out of the water of baptism, I'm certainly a child of God by grace. Not by attitude, not by demeanor, not by action. And the time we have left, we're supposed to grow thereby so that we become more and more by act and deed and thought the children of God, and less by act and deed and thought like our father the devil, who had control for so long. The Hebrews received a well-deserved rebuke because they weren't growing. They weren't making the applications. They weren't. It was just going, what do we say, going one ear and out the other. We have much to say and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Now there may be some people in this room are hearing this for the 50th time, but they should have already heard it and they should already be understanding it. You have need of milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Doesn't know how to use it. He can't use it like Jesus did. When Jesus was told by the devil, why don't you command that these stones become bread? He quoted a scripture. He was skilled in the word of righteousness. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm not going to turn these stones into bread. Solid food belongs to those who are full age. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that's exactly what we've been saying since the very beginning of this lesson. Spiritual growth gives us the ability by reason of use to see and discern good and evil. And then choose the good. Something we couldn't do before we became a Christian. Something we often can't do for many years after we become a Christian. But when we become mature and we are skilled in the word of righteousness, we can take the word of God and we can stop our lust. We can tell ourselves, this is how Satan has conditioned me to see this. And if I keep looking at it like this, I will never be able to stop it. But if I could just see it the way God reveals it, then I could discern the good and evil. And I could choose the good. So just like all children in school, there's benchmarks at the end of each year to determine if we can go ahead or not. And that's what God is saying here. I have benchmarks. When the time comes where you should have graduated to be able to teach some of these things, you're failed. You're still back in first grade when you should be in high school. Why? Because you need milk and not solid food. So, test yourself with this sermon. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Where are you now in this lesson? I mean, are you excited? Is this giving you tools? Now I can see where I can grow. Now I can see some areas where I can develop these things. Verse 20, doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you're just hearing the word and you're not doing anything with it, God's not looking at that. That's where he's going to go in chapter 2, when he says, faith without works is dead. If you're not doing the word, you're deceiving yourself. Our Father at our death equals our destiny. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is where the sons of God are going to go. This is where those people who have been born again, who have learned and begun to develop the process, come, you blessed of my Father. But then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Since Satan was your father, like it said of Cain, he was the son of the devil. Not of Cain, who was of the evil one. Depart from me, you cursed. So do you want to spend your eternity with your Father God? In heaven? Or do we want to spend our eternity with our father, Satan, in the fire that's been prepared for him? One last slide. Look. Growing into eternity. We are now the children of God. By grace. We are working toward being the children of God. By attitude and emotion and demeanor and decisions. If we die as children of God, when he is revealed, we're going to be like him. So this is what the gospel is designed to do. We come to the gospel broken. We come to the gospel blind and seeing things that are not there. It's just like Eve did. Eve saw things that were not there. That tree was not good for food. It was not a delight to the eyes, and it was certainly not to be desired to make one wise. It was death. It was only death. That's what that tree showed. We see the same thing with our lusts, whether it's the love of money, whether it is anger, whether it is jealousy and bitterness, or whether it is sexual things, or whether it is just flat out covetousness, the desires of the world and for other things. You're not seeing things clearly. Go back, repent, see things clearly, start growing thereby. Start changing the way we see these things. We can't constantly be living to try to undo what we've done. We need to be not reactive, but proactive. And so, brethren, as we pick up our songbook this morning to prepare and sing the song that's been chosen, a lot of good information in this lesson. I hope we can all take it to heart. Very important. Because it will determine where we spend our eternity. If we can help you in any way this morning, either by becoming a Christian so that you can be Abraham's seed and make God your father, or repenting of your sins because you know that you have once again misunderstood the truth of the scripture, violated it, brought death on yourself. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand.